You're listening to KKUP Cupertino 91.5 FM. And it's time for the Vibrational Voyage program. Vibrational Voyage happens every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. And it's adventures and explorations in the dimensions of consciousness and the consciousness of transformation. Hope you enjoyed the equinox. We had an extraordinary event on Sunday, something that happens only very rarely. It's only possible that once every 84 years or so. And what we had on Sunday was an equinox where the planet Uranus was almost exactly aligned with the sun at the moment of the equinox. It was actually about a half degree away, and the sun is actually still very close to Uranus. So it seemed like a good day to kind of pay attention to the energy. We had a full moon as well. It was pretty rainy, though. I don't know if you were able to see much of the full moon. I went outside to see it, and it was kind of hard to catch it. But I did spend a good chunk of time out in the energy in the backyard on Saturday morning and afternoon, and that was really lovely. Had a great time. Well, on Sunday, I got together with a few friends, including my friend Vinnie McCorsky, and we had kind of a celebration and a little bit of an experiment related to the equinox energies. And so that's what I brought you today, is excerpts from that, because it turned out to be pretty interesting. And you'll get to hear all about how it worked here. So why don't we just dive right into it. Thanks for listening tonight. It's wonderful to be here with you. We'll just go right into the equinox experiment.
So one of the things I wanted to do to start with is kind of get us all in tune with the energy of the cosmos that we find ourselves here in the midst of. And these energies are within us too. And I think it's a good time to do it because we can use these energies for prayers as well. It's like you can invite the energy of the sun or the earth or the sky and the moon as an ally, a helper. So we're just going to do these sounds. The way they were taught to me, you've heard me say them before if you've ever been around when I'm doing one of these. The Mayan people say these sounds aren't words, they're not ideas. These are the actual vibrations of the sun, the vibration of the earth, the vibration of the moon, and the vibration of the galaxy. So the vibration of the sun, we'll do it first, we'll kind of repeat it a few times, is keen. And you kind of draw it out and let it resonate in your body like this. Keen. We'll just do it a few times. Energy of the sun, keen. Exactly the same way, just let your soul move you. Ooh.
Ooh.
the galaxy, and that heart of the galaxy reaches out fully to where we are and beyond. It's the radiance of the heart of the galaxy, and it's Hunab Ku.
Taking time to thank your body for loving you through the thick and thin of everything we do to it. And knowing that as we become more sensitized to these subtle energies, we can become active participants in our own healing process. And pretty much anything that we can contract in nature, we can in some way, if not completely cure, we can alleviate to some degree. And we can do this by being conscious in our breathing, by being conscious in the energies that flows through our fingers, becoming attuned to the subtle energies of the plant kingdom, of the kingdom of the crystals, the earth under our feet, the sky above our head. Because one of the things that we're going to talk about a little bit more in this workshop is an elemental awareness, an awareness that we're fire, that we're air, that we're water, and that we're earth. And that everything that is within us is out there, and everything that is out there is within us. And that we can enter, as we enter into this state of elemental consciousness, of the air within us, of the fire within us, of the earth within us, of the waters within us, that we're actually interacting with all of those elements outside of us, and that we can become receptive in a way that we can draw energy from the plants and from the stones and from the birds, and they love it when we feed off of them in that way, and they love it when we offer our own energies.
Does the sun move at all?
It floats through space, and it's actually moving fairly fast. Like we're rotating at 1,000 miles an hour,
right?
And we go around the sun at about 50,000 miles an hour.
At the same time, the sun also is revolving.
The sun is revolving. What's the sun revolving around?
The galaxy.
The center of the galaxy. And it moves. It does a whole orbit of the galaxy in about 200. Estimates go from 230 to 260. It'd be interesting if it was actually 260 million years to turn once around the galaxy.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you do the math on that, and it's faster than we orbit the sun. It's
only been around eight times since there's been an Earth.
To do the math, you think, really?
What does that say about our individual lives? I'm not talking about eternal life, but this
kind of blip on the radar screen.
There is a state of consciousness somewhere, I'm sure God sees the galaxies turning. Now that's a scale of time which is so far beyond what we perceive. To us it all looks frozen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It just looks like it's absolutely frozen. Do you ever notice that when you watch a fly? How fast the fly seems to move?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's possible the fly lives at a different scale of time?
Oh, yeah. What about a gnat?
They only live for a very short time, but that's their life. And you try to catch one, you watch them move. It's like they're moving. It's like they move in another state of time. No one's ever said that. It's just my own observation. But to me, it looks like that.
Yeah. My thought is that all of the galaxies and our planetary solar system are like molecules and the body of God.
It could be.
Well, we have a bug in a plant every year for about a week. It makes its journey from one side of the house to the other and dies on the windowsill. So these plants have been cut down. So now they're coming in, came in through the bathroom window, the other window, and most of them have died, like right there in the bathtub. Mm. So their journey is. As soon as they fly in, they're dead.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Okay, one of the things that I didn't tell you, they're gall wasps, and they belong to that oak, they come from the oak tree behind your house. I mean, that's where they live.
Well, I'm just talking about how short their lifespan is.
So now we're getting attuned to something that's really critical, okay?
Yes.
Because each of these planets has a different resonance on at least two levels.
Yep.
They have a different resonance in terms of their orbital frequency. For example.
What do you mean by resonance?
For example, the moon takes 29 and a half days to go around one orbit. Right? 29 and a half days. Saturn takes 29 and a half years. So that's a harmonic. That's a 365 multiple. 329 and a half days. 29 and a half years. That's a harmonic.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
So is that some accident? Well,
no.
Probably not. But what it is, undoubtedly, look at the math. It's harmonic. It's a harmonic. Moon and Saturn. Now, it's interesting because Moon and Saturn seem to have some very different, even in some ways polar opposite, qualities. But they're harmonics of each other. Right now, today, we have Moon and Saturn together.
Uh-huh.
To me, one of the things about Saturn, another name for the archetype of Saturn is Kronos.
Uh-huh.
What's Kronos?
Time.
Well, so today we have Moon and Saturn together. So actually, it's really an excellent moment for Moon attending awareness, vibrational awareness, attending to what Saturn is resonant with. So there's two resonances that I mentioned. First is orbital frequency, right? And then how it relates to Earth, right? So Moon and Saturn is a really easy one. It's a 1 day to 1 year. That's the resonance, right? Venus. That has a resonance with the Earth. Venus makes I believe it's 8 orbits for every 5 the Earth makes. Right? So it's a 13. There's anima, it's 13. So it's actually embedded in the Mayan calendar. The 260-day cycle is the gestational period for a human, right? 9 months. Right? But the 260-day cycle is also the period of days and months that it takes for the moon to come up as it makes its journey through the evening sky. Comes up, it rises, and then it goes into decline.
Venus,
yes. What did I say?
Moon.
Sorry. Venus. So Venus, built into the Mayan calendar is a measurement of this pattern that's in the Venus orbit. It's 260.
They work to Venus a lot.
They really work. But that also then resonates. Three of those cycles is the Mars pattern. From the time that Earth, Sun, and Mars all line up, where we're all together on the same side, right? So Sun's here. We call it Sun-Mars opposition, right? It's the beginning of a cycle. That's basically three of those 260-day cycles. So there's a connection also to the Mars cycle built into the Mayan calendar. To the 260-day cycle of Venus, multiply it times 3, and you get the full Mars cycle.
Oh.
780 days.
Wow.
So, what does this demonstrate? It's funny, the 260-day calendar then lines up with the solar calendar. It takes 13 years to do that. So what it's showing is there's a relationship between the Earth orbital resonance, the Earth orbital frequency, the Venus orbital frequency,
and the Mars orbital frequency. And I'm sure they've got stuff in there for Mercury as well.
Yeah.
I just haven't studied it that closely. But those three, at least, are in there, and they're precise. They're absolutely precise.
So is that love and war?
Yeah, and you could melt it down further, and it's yin and yang.
Male, female.
Right. Yeah. So to start with, as you start to dial into these resonances, what you do is you just get your own sense of it, because the energy's speaking to you, right? But it's going to get interpreted and filtered through the words that come to you. So as much as possible, stay away from the words. As much as possible, stay with the feeling of it. Now, and realize that when you get emotion is more of your ideas talking, because emotion a lot of times has to do with expectations. It's a comparison of what's happening with what we expect, and so there's a mental component in it. The energetic, the straight energetic part, won't feel so emotional. It'll feel more like, to me, it'll feel like how energy is moving. It might feel congested. It might feel heavy. It has a quality to it. It'll have a quality. It won't necessarily have an emotional quality. It'll have more of a, it might feel, you know, bright or dull or congested or flowing or expansive or, you know, and there can be emotional components that respond to that, but there's something more essential than the emotion. It's like how the energy is speaking to us directly. Mm-hmm. So, I'm covering a lot of ground here really fast, but kind of all comes out really quick, and then we'll go back and we'll kind of readdress a few things. So one of the things you want to do is when you're getting your sense of it, so if we're actually going to do a little bit of work with this, we're going to experiment with it. When you're addressing it directly, when you take your attention to an event, and especially when we look at something that's happening, right, you can look at the symbols and then you kind of open your attention to the event itself, right? And if it's happening immediately, it's very easy to do that. If it's a distant event, past or future, it takes a little bit more tuning, but it's all connected, right? So you can get to it. It requires attention in order to do it. All right, so when you do that, what's going to happen is you're going to notice sensations in your body. The sensations in your body are literally the energetic language speaking. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's the energetic communication. Mm-hmm. So that's what happens. That's what the medicine wheel really, really tells us about. There's like, it's a big cross inside a circle, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the vertical element, just like in our aura, the vertical element has to do with the way we are literally connected directly from the most minute to the whole, right? It's fractal communion. So what's happening when we're getting attuned to something is we're bringing our attention into a place where the communion is already, it's already there. We're bringing our attention to the event, to the place where the togetherness is, right? It's focusing, so it's a type of concentration. Now, it's hard because we're using words, and the thing that usually happens is we get confounded because we have all our ideas and connotations that we put on these words. Mm-hmm. But what I'm pointing at here is something that's naturally within each of us, and it goes beyond where our words are pointing. It goes directly into our bodies, what our bodies tell us about the reality and the truth of what's going on here. So the up and down, the vertical part of the whole thing is telling us about how we are one or in communion with the event that's going on, right? And you'll play around with this, and I'll provide some little additional guidance when we get into it. But then you have the other component, the east-west component, right? The north-south one is about stillness.
When you say communion with the event, you mean the sky, what's happening in the sky?
Whatever's going on, whatever you're putting your attention upon. There's something that's happening, and you're becoming attuned to the direct energy of it. You're getting a sense of the energy directly, unmediated by symbols and thoughts. You're getting it directly. It's happening.
I can give an example, because this is something I'd like to share. and I don't know where it would fit better, but before I take any meal, I have the plate of food. Say, let's say it's just a plate of salad, right? Not just, wow, a plate of salad. Anyway, it's a vibrant plate of salad. And so what I do is I bring my hands just into the space where I start to feel the energy of the food. And I close my eyes and I breathe in. I tune in with my breathing and I just thank the spirit of the food. I say, thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for fulfilling your perfect purpose in love, life, light. And what I do is I offer the energies of my hands and my body to the energies of the food. And I mix the energies of my body as an offering into the food. And then I draw the energies of the food right back in through my hands, circulating through my arms. And so I can feel the vitality of the food. I can get drunk on a glass of beer without even taking a sip. It's a cheap way to eat, too. I got to say one thing, though. The feeling of a McDonald's cheeseburger is a lot different than a fresh, vibrant tomato. And you'll start to notice that. Like animal flesh, food that's been cooked longer will have less vitality. If you microwave something, it will have less of a pushback than a nice, fat, juicy tomato. So that's part of my alchemical relationship to the food, is mixing and blessing the food with my own energies and saying, the gift that I'm about to receive, I want to give you my gift first. And Yeshua, in different places, Gospel of Thomas, he says something about, pity the lion the man that's eaten by the lion, but bless the lion that's been eaten by the man. And I think that he's talking something about the food, the elemental awareness of the food becoming conscious with that which eats it. And so by us eating a tomato or whatever, not that we're doing it any favors, but yes, we are, because we are blessing it with an opportunity to become integrated into our consciousness, into our conscious experience. And so that's my part about the food.
You know, that just brought it to mind. In some civilizations, the very fact of eating, cannibalism, that was the whole part of it.
Yeah.
Is that if they ingested a great warrior into their body, they became one with that great warrior spirit.
Right, yeah. So try it sometime. Just try it and see what happens. And you can do it in a restaurant kind of subtle. You know, you just put your hands over it. Because it's kind of weird. I've caught a few people staring at me when I got my eyes closed and my hands over my food.
Christine and I do that.
You do?
Yeah.
And it's, I think Yeshua taught that, but it's just some of the things got lost. And some of what...
Tony is relating this to the idea of the medicine wheel.
So here's another way to kind of work with this. When you get into that state where you actually are feeling the energy moving when you're blessing something, well, what you're doing is you're taking your energy and you're putting it towards this event, the sun and Uranus. First, we'll start in a few minutes. We're going to start with the moon because the moon's easier to tune in on because the moon is very much about receiving and attending. It's about vibration. Sun's very strong and it's big, and the sun is with Uranus, and Uranus is behind the sun, so it's a little bit more challenging to get dialed in on that, but we'll work with that one too. So when you get to the point where that energy is moving, whether you're blessing something and there's a give and take going on there, what will happen is as that hits you, you'll be surprised. And that's a definite sign it's not your imagination. Mm-hmm. Your imagination cannot surprise you. Ever.
That's right.
Ever. If it surprises you, it is spontaneous, and it is not your imagination. Mm-hmm. Okay, now it won't happen every time, but it is always happening. And it's just that sometimes your awareness, your heart, is available enough.
Yes.
And the universe has a brilliant sense of humor. Have you felt it? Mm-hmm. Have you been surprised by something that just knocks your socks off and makes you laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, And it's like, where did that come from?
Well, it wasn't you.
Yeah.
It wasn't your imagination. It was a real... So that's the other branch of the wheel, okay? The wheel is right in the chart. The horizontal element of the wheel, just like it is in us energetically, it's communication. In order for the communication to flow, the communion has to be still. The stillness has to be still. You have to allow your attention to fall into this place of alignment. And when you do, when, you know, because normally before we get to that place, what do you have? You have a certain amount of chaos.
Right. Static.
And it's not very easy to get to the place where you're open to the communication.
Yeah, yeah.
Until you find the stillness. So you have to find that place of alignment. Patience.
And I like to call it relationship. The axis of relationship.
Yes.
The horizontal? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and that makes sense to me as well, because so the vertical is literally in us. There's a central canal in us, energetically.
Yes, our spine, yes.
And it literally is the place where the essence of spirit and the most basic, mundane, manifest atom and electron of us are together. Right? But we have to allow our attention to fall into the place where, you know, this is what meditation does for us. It gives us access to the place where the stillness is.
Yes.
So the good news is, if you've been practicing meditation for years, you already have the essential tools for this. Mm-hmm. Everybody has the ability to do this inherently. But what makes it work? What makes it work is feeding it with the attention necessary in order to let it bloom. Think of it like a flower.
Yes.
Do you guys think that the planets, are they in some way related to different organs of our body?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah,
especially different parts of our psychology, our psychological body, our emotions, our various, you know, like Christine was talking about, our sensations, emotions, mm-hmm. And, you know, like the different chakra points are related to what divine science calls the inherencies of God.
Right.
Those parts of our being, from the more base to the more element, the connection to God.
What about the organs? Like, can certain planets have different
there's medical
on
astrology.
Different organs?
There's medical astrology.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, just kind of test this out for yourself. Kind of take this into that still place for just a moment and breathe it. This is the practice I do with it. I'll take the thing in, whatever the relationship is, and just mm-hmm. the felt sense of it, and I'll breathe it right to here. And it might take half an hour. It might take two breaths. I never know, mm-hmm. right? But if it's an important question, I take it in like that. Well, so is there resonance? Is there a planetary energetic resonance in the organs?
Well, yeah, I mean, because everything out there is in here.
Absolutely.
So don't connect it mentally.
Yeah.
Feel it.
Right.
Pump it
right
through the breath.
Okay.
And you're saying right now the moon is most accessible in terms of a planetary or...
Well, the moon always is, but the moon and Saturn are together right now. The moon and Saturn are right together.
Well, definitely your chakras.
So what is the relationship with the third name?
So, yes.
Saturn.
You did? I had the little, I wanted to ask
one response to your question is that, like, one of the things that they found in the science of sound, and particularly sound or vibration as a healing application, that every organ in our body has a specific frequency that it vibrates at.
Right.
And every planet has its own frequency.
Yeah, like the crystal
balls. So imagine
walls.
That. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And
so
that
when the planets are more prominent, the energies of certain planets are more prominent, it probably does do things to affect certain organs in our body more if it holds that resonance with it. You know, that relationship. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, definitely wouldn't it do that with it? Chakras?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That what he's doing, I remember what I do with the summer solstice?
Yeah.
Place
yeah.
Well, I got that from him.
Yeah,
Yeah, because you can play around with it.
Another answer to your question is there, science has shown that the different parts of the body are related to the spine, and the, you know, and so the spine is also, you know, you can do the chakras up and down the spine as well as in the front.
And the planets, as I showed in the summer solstice, each planet is linked to a chakra.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll
kind of
say that.
And each chakra governs a different organ in the body or a different area of organs in the body. So,
that's why I was saying, you know, that science has already shown that, you know, there are different places in our body that are related to the organs.
Well,
chakras are.
What's so boggling is that, you know, with as fast as the sun is spinning and as fast as the earth and the other planets are spinning and the relationship of all those energies, that's also, we're being affected. Our physical bodies are being affected by all of that.
Absolutely.
And in maybe as complex ways as that, we just don't understand it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We probably don't understand the music that it creates.
Yes.
Somewhere in us, it hears the tone change.
Yes.
When the moon and Saturn have gotten together, they create a different kind of harmony.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that tune is subtly, we are hearing it in our soul.
Divine symphony.
And then our bodies.
Music of the spheres.
Music of the spheres.
So I like to think of things as music.
Yeah.
Kepler was really, he was deeply investigating that relationship,
right.
The music of the planets.
It goes back to Pythagoras.
Pythagoras, yes, definitely.
Have any of you heard this concept that the whales singing actually affects the bringing in spring, because then the birds start to go, like the hummingbirds have their own little song, and then they talk, and then let the flowers bloom and the...
Yes.
And spring to happen because of the singing that's going on.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about, you know, even our thoughts, I mean, those are a vibration, have an energy, and that goes out around the planets and, you know, goes out. Mm-hmm. So, the sound of a whale, the vibration, would affect a hummingbird. And
apparently that they sing at a certain time, so they know that it's time to sing it now, and so then, wake up, you know, the birds to sing to the flowers, and the flowers to bloom, whatever.
Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that when we pass out of this physical body, and it can happen before then, too, and that might be another workshop if we want to learn how to do that kind of thing, but... what we find is that you instantly are aware of the relationships of everything. And, I mean, because you've got the lens of infinity and eternity. And I've had a little bit of bleed through with folks that I've been with when they died. And they did a couple of little mischievous things to me to make me sense or give me an awareness of, you know, how fast and how far and how expansive we all are once we physical body. And one person said, we don't die, we magnify. And so that's something that just has stuck with me forever. Like, wow, you think of death as this, like...
Yes. That's a nice bumper sticker.
Yeah. Yes, we don't die, we magnify. I should get one.
Yeah. Huh? and the old word of Marcy. Marcy. So many, 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 many years ago, she died, and then she came back. When she came back, She didn't know it. She was in her recording studio that she built and completed 3 days before she died. And then when she died, she was told, you have a choice, you know, you can stay or go. And she thought, you know, I just finished making that recording studio. I haven't finished it. So she went back down, and she got in her recording studio. She fell asleep. When she woke up, there's this music. She thought, no, who created it? But she did. She was the one. And when she played it, she shared it, like, here in San Jose, I think, at the flea market, whatever. There was some man who listened to it, and he turned white, and then she thought, oh, my gosh, is he going to have a heart attack or anything? Anyway, he left, and then 30 minutes, he came back, and he said, young lady, he's, like, 78, this is, you know, this is the song I heard when I died, because he had died and he had come back. So many people heard it. It's the music that they hear when they die. And it has so many healing abilities. Like, there was a dog that was ready to be dead, and they just kept playing the music, and in a few days he was able to revive. And other people with all kinds of illnesses just listen to it all day, and they've been healed.
Do you know how to get this music?
Oh, yeah, you just go,
Marcy Ham.
H-A-M.
Yeah, H-A-M.
Inward Harmony is the name of that music.
She got the music from the
when she died.
From the stars.
That was the music she heard. When you die, that's what you hear.
Wow.
And then
she went through.
She just woke.
This is what I've been reading. That's what I was here for today.
I had asked Eric one time about music being made from the stars.
Oh, yes.
Because I had known that, seeing that a lot of the connection are where the planets are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They obviously have musical connection. And if you connect,
absolutely.
One piece of music that was definitely made from the stars, the Toccata in F by Bach.
The one that you play every year.
Well, my brother-in-law transitioned a year and a half ago, and I went to see him. He didn't want visitors or anything, and then my sister said he's going soon. And so I went to see him at the hospital. He was so conscious, he looked like a teenager. And I walked in and he goes, "Well, Patty, this is it." You know, I was just blown away by that. And within a few hours, he was out of his mind and transitioned the next day. But I'm sitting there with him holding his hand and my sister holding his other hand. And I'm getting goosebumps right now because he's had such joy. He was conducting business. You know, to finish up what he needed to do.
Wow.
And then he says to me, "Patty," he says, "do you hear the music? Do you hear that?" And he had such joy on his face. I said, "Yes, I didn't hear it. But I wanted him to know it's okay to, you're not crazy. It's okay. Yes. And he goes, he was in such joy in that music.
So the composers, they hear some of
this. This is music.
Yeah, they bring it in.
If this really grabs you, and it doesn't have to be an everyday practice for you, but when events happen, you'll feel that music. So here, really quickly, Moon and Saturn. Mm-hmm. Let's just kind of we'll turn around a couple of concepts that are resonant for this here, but then we'll get our own sense of it, right? We'll breathe with it. We'll take it in, breathe it in your belly. Just breathe the energy. It's actually happening. It's below the horizon still, right? It's not risen yet, so we couldn't see it unless we were on the other side of the planet.
Notice how far it stands out from the others.
Uh-huh.
It's actually dead in opposition with Jupiter and Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, this is Mercury. This is Mercury and Jupiter right here.
And that's the Moon and
Saturn. Right. So Moon and Saturn. So Moon. It's all about
Mom,
the mother, the everything that holds. It's like the universe, the way it holds all vibration. So it's also hollowness. It's also the home. It's resonance. It's the, think of the most beautiful moon you've ever seen,
and the feeling that you have from that. It's like, oh, it just stops you.
Saturn has its complexities too, but it's time. The essence of time, because time is really just an idea. But what is the movement of time? It's the changing of experience. So it's the structure of experience. It's the principle through which everything manifests. It's authority. It's institutions. So it's the big, heavy weight quality of the stodgy, stuck-in-the-mud government, educational system, religion. But it's also the key to opening and transforming karma. It's also the principles that stand behind how things happen.
So it's like the Hierophant?
Well, not really.
You get your own feel of
it's
though.
It's more like the Emperor, but it's, you know.
But
institutional authority.
Here's the thing to remember. There's not one interpretation. These things are vibrational, and they're a spectrum. So they're going to speak to you in peculiar ways. Now, the thing that ends up being very helpful to you is if you really want the thing to speak to you, you don't have one conversation. You listen to it. Right now, Saturn's way opposite to the Sun, so every month we're going to have a Moon-Saturn event. Every month! You can watch it, you can see it, it's going to speak to you. It will, every time it happens.
Oh.
So it depends on how you're paying attention to it.
Once a month.
So, for just a few moments, let's just be still. Moon and Saturn together. And we'll all get a chance to kind of express anything that comes. And, you know, a phrase of poetry might be the thing that comes. Or a single word, or just a feeling. Let your body tell you. Now breathe it. Breathe it in here. The connection, Moon and Saturn. Belly breathing.
I have to connect it to the sign. Sorry.
No, However that's it works for you. But to want to get connected, not to the idea of Moon and Saturn, not to any concept of it. You want to get connected to the energy.
Feeling of it.
And the feeling that results in your body is the sign that it's happening. So it doesn't have to be any particular feeling. It might be sometimes that's a constipated feeling. Sometimes it's an immense feeling. And it can have ecstasy to it. Get your own sense of it. Breathe with it. Sometimes it happens that quick. Sometimes it takes longer. You tell me. Let's go over here, Sheila. You start. Just tell me any impression, any sensation, any word, just a real brief description. What'd you get?
Vaporization, wheels turning. It's like there was a vaporization of darkness going through it, and then this churning of the wheel of time.
Good. Mm-hmm. Keep the descriptions brief like that. Miriam?
Establishment, structure, change, nurturing through structure.
Okay. All right. Eric, anything?
Yeah, I get the feelings of depth and concern and a little and wanting to feel things more deeply, get in touch with sorrows and healing of grief and steadiness. Two of them together bring steadiness of feeling.
Very nice. Very nice. For me, I was feeling it in here, and at first it kind of had this stuffiness to it, and I took that and I breathed with that. I put that, I said, okay, so I'm just being accepting, and in that state of being receptive, and I'm breathing, literally kind of breathing my attention into that feeling. Let it speak, let it speak, let it speak, mm-hmm. Let it grow, let it move, whatever it needs to do. Let it grow like that, and then it just surprised me with the word opening. Mm. Okay? So for me, that process, because it's resonating with me, it's resonating with each of us. It's going to speak to us in its own peculiar way. In the constellation, in the universe of your own energetic state. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's all I'll say.
I have a transition actually in personal life, you know, because we tend to take it away and outside of ourselves, but actually it's an indication to me about transition in time in my life.
Very good. And again, it can come in multiple stages, so you just take it in and you always just simply acknowledge. You don't want to get into an argument with it. You don't have to analyze it. Don't analyze it as much as possible. Just let it be. Pat, what you get?
I got a big solid block of energy and then these waves of energy. Mm. And what I saw was the solid block, which represents like the structure of the way of things are, or the past way, mm-hmm. the past, what do you call it, structures of thought or what have you, can be harmonized, or the big block starts to entrain with the waves.
Gave you a process.
Yeah.
Okay.
To move all the energy to where it needs to go.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I got peace.
Peace.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I said I needed to have it in the sign. Because for me it was the light of the moon and the structure of Saturn in balance. So in balance. Thank you. Which is peace.
Yeah. Any way to say you?
Well, the first awareness that I had was of the tides of the water that are in my body being moved, the ebb and flow of that. And how, you know, for me, you know, my perception of the authority within myself is the ego. And how the moon being this fluxer in a way, this state of flux and moving the waters, that it was in some way softening the structures of ego, mm-hmm. and it was making it more malleable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, this is amazing, and I just really resonated with what all of you said.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
A little different verbiage.
Yeah, we got, a lot of times we put ideas on all of these things, and you know, ideas will come from the feelings, which is how we interpret astrology. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it's based on the core of what we feel these planets are.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't know anything about any of them. I mean, mm-hmm. I know mm-hmm. that the moon, I thought, waves, moon, what's that? None of that. Yeah. Oh, well, the moon affects them.
Yes, because you do know what the planets are.
But very little.
You know more than
maybe
you think.
In one word.
But your soul,
more than you think.
Your soul speaks the energetic language and needs no training or interpretation.
Yeah.
Zero.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Zero.
Because the planets are already inside you.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, right.
So this one will be a little bit more challenging. Now, we're not going to talk about the meaning. We all have some semblance of moon and Mars and Uranus, but we're not going to say anything about it.
Not me.
We're going to take another minute. You know the energetic language.
Energetic.
You know the energy. So that, listen to your body. Listen to your body, okay? Let's do it. Similarly, we'll probably have about a minute.
Okay, from which?
Sun, Mars, Uranus. This little grouping right here. And it's right. It's right. Going out this way. Right?
Okay.
It's right now. It's right out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That one there is Uranus?
That's
the
one, right
here.
The
other one with a little...
That's
the antenna. Uh-huh.
Several UFOs have been seen with that.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, serious.
We need to be a roof inside.
All right, so take the energy, breathe deep. And one of the things I find with this is the slow breathing, slow deep. And sometimes pushing it out against your mouth like this. Now notice, that immediately puts you into an altered state. See what it says. All right. Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did we lose our light?
Oh, we may have.
The sun went out.
There's a light.
I think I actually had to put a new candle on. But why don't we start, Vinny? You could go ahead and you start.
Okay. So we get the grouping here is Sun, Uranus, and
Mars.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What I noticed first was in the first experience, I felt the energies in my feet first, and I instantly associate that Earth and the magnetics of the Earth, but with this grouping, I experienced the energies in my hands first. And so the first energies felt like heavier, more like water, and this felt lighter, and it felt more like fire or air or something. It felt lighter, a different form of energy. I didn't have any like sense of what it was supposed to mean or the relationships or anything like that, just the difference with being in my hands and my feet. And that's it. But it was powerful.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that hard to know what the sun means.
No.
But it'll have a peculiar way that it speaks to you based on
mm-hmm.
where you're at and what the moment is. Vivian, what feelings did you get?
the first thing that I had, I mean, it was like the, I don't know how to say it, but the word skirmishes came to me. Mm. And it was like ego wanting to have skirmishes intermittently. Mm-hmm.
First, I'll say what I saw, which was light, mm-hmm. and then I saw kind of chaotic patterns, which then formed into beautiful patterns, and then I saw like a black hole, black dot or black hole or something, and what I felt it in probably my solar plexus mostly, but... what it meant to me was the light was the life force, and the what were chaotic energies then began to form into beautiful energies. That was a divine pattern, and the black hole or spot was my life purpose. And then I thought, oh, I couldn't remember what these were, and then I thought, oh, that's right, the sun, which was the life force to me, anyway, mm-hmm. the light, the Mars. Was it Mars? Mm-hmm. Was the chaotic pattern mm-hmm. with energies that formed into a divine pattern, mm-hmm. and then Uranus, which was the black spot or black hole, which I thought, well, I'm an Aquarian, so I don't know if that, I don't know, that's just what I...
No, that's really good.
Saw it.
Uranus connected with your life purpose? Is that what you saw?
I guess. That's what I saw.
It's mm-hmm. good. And generally, I just look at the whole pattern. Don't try to analyze it or judge it. I just let it speak to me. Mm-hmm. And it'll settle out.
Yeah.
And it'll tell me more.
I don't feel like I was trying to figure it out. I felt like it was coming in, and then I was just trying to figure how to share it with you.
No, okay.
Find words to share.
That's very good.
Yeah, that's great.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
I'll just say it the way it is.
Yeah.
I felt a real power, being drawn into the power. And then I felt words given to me that said, wherever you go, I am with you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
That's
great. Mm-hmm. I had several different phases. At first, I kind of got a few flashes of brilliance, just seemed to be light, you know, like little pops of light. And then there was like this image of a big hill, and the word precipice came to me. And then the will of the people, and it, with a surprising kind of a tone to it, you know, like the manifestation of the will of the people.
Well, I felt a lot of things that you've all said already. One thing I noticed that these two are very much opposites,
mm-hmm.
and those mm-hmm. three are very much aligned, similar, and they're all, you mentioned the solar plexus, they're all three related to the solar plexus.
Oh.
And so I felt sparks and light and lightning vibrations and energy, and just reminded myself at the end that I need to focus that in my solar plexus, because that's a strength source, to remember that I have that energy there that I can tap into.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, like you say, the will of the people, because that's what's happening in the world, you know. And it's going to be needed over the next couple of weeks for all that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the feeling of energy and intensity and like an explosion kind of thing, but like it propels you forward, and then it was like a chaotic, and then it was somehow what like, for this is the image, it's like sperms, like they were chaotic and talking to each other, and they're, you know, trying to get to a place. When you said the dot, it kind of made a feeling like you're racing for something, and then when the dot is like when one of them gets it, then you have birthing, like something, right? Sperm, so the idea of sperm was because it had to do with creating a life, a new life. I don't know, but it just was boom, intense, and these little things moving around, and like there's intense communication and
birth,
and then that.
Yeah, Mars is male albino.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These are all similar experience. And but I am a sun sign. In my mind, it was very expansive. It was almost more than I could handle. The sun, and then arrows like these came out of the sun and then imploded back in, and then a sunflower with the black, and then a birth, like I, because that resonated in my root chakra and shot through the top of my head and out and expands.
Wow.
That is what this is about. It's it, for me, totally resonate with that. That's what's going on.
So everybody
in the world,
I think everybody got
it's like it was like flares on the sun too, coming in and then spewing out, coming in and spewing out, and then a big birth, but then beautiful flower that came out was this, and it was like looking
and the flower, you know, beautiful. A sunflower, it's like the black dot.
Black
saw hole. Patterns similar to the, I mean, that was
then
the
you
divine,
go into it,
the
though.
Divine
go
pattern.
Go into it,
had
and
all
it's the
these,
mother's birth.
Had all these colors, and it was, this is really great.
So you notice how your own vision, maybe a little bit or a lot, surprised you.
Yeah.
Right, the way you just described, a lot of surprises in that one.
Yeah. Wow.
So all of us had little surprises or big surprises, and more sometimes than others. Mm-hmm. But the surprises are a key. But then what happened? Immediately after, we all got surprised by each other's story and found the rest. Okay, so that's just as much the surprise. Sometimes the surprise comes later.
Yes.
You get the thing, it's like, oh, you know, I don't know. But you get surprised, like, oh, there's this big synchronicity. It just... Suddenly, this, you know, the hummingbird comes and goes around your head. It's like, oh my God, and this, it connects.
Right.
The universe has an incredible sense of humor.
And all it is a bunch of little plates on the floor.
That's
right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Well,
it's
inside you. It's
alive.
Well, that is going to do it for the show tonight. That was a bunch of excerpts from the Equinox experiment. I hope you enjoyed that. It was playful. It was a lot of fun for those of us that were doing it. And I think it definitely kind of not only illustrated some interesting stuff, but it really just resonated nicely with the energy of the Equinox. I was just really happy to bring that to you. We're still in the midst of that energy because right now the Sun and Uranus are still really close. So tune into it yourself. Dial in and get your own sense of it. There's a lot of really strong and intensely innovative and insightful, intuitive energy that's full in this event. So enjoy it. Take good care. And see you next week. Thanks so much for listening. You're listening to The Vibrational Voyage. That's it for tonight. This is KKUP Cupertino, 91.5 FM. Stay tuned now for Larry Grant. He'll be bringing you morning music all the way till morning come. All right, stay tuned.